Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 249, Victory of the Renewed Mind. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, March 27th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So it's not a coincidence today that the Lord put it on my heart to speak about the heart of God for the nations. And I was thinking that I probably will, a future message, I will take out of my notes from the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast and talk really about God's heart for Israel and our plan with what God wants to do with Israel. But today I'm going to just focus on God's heart for all of the nations. So let's just jump right in. Are we good? We're ready? Buckle up. Okay. So Matthew 24:14, this is the key scripture I'm going to just kind of camp out in today. Is it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So let's just pray. Thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for your written word that we have, Father, the Logos word of God. And we pray right now, Father God, for your Rhema word, your inspired word from the Holy Spirit would speak to each of our hearts today. Father, I pray that that you would take the words that I speak and you would minister to each heart, to each life, your Rhema word, what you have, the bread that you have to feed each of us today. And we thank you for that. We thank you for giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that your word may come alive in our hearts. And we pray these things in your precious Son, the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this is Matthew 24, where, you know, he's talking about the end times and what is to come. And I'll just repeat this again. It says, "And the gospel of the kingdom," there isn't a question here. It just says, "It will be," right? There's no question mark or maybe. "It will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So we have a part in this. Our responsibility to preach the gospel is tied to the nations, right? It's tied then to the end of the age. We must do our part to proclaim the good news, to proclaim that gospel message wherever we are. And, you know, we say to all the nations, this doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, you know, pack up and go as a missionary to a foreign place. Okay, I did that. God called me to do that for a season of my life, and maybe he will do that for you or speak that to you. But you can also do this, and we are called to preach the gospel to all nations here in our neighborhood, here at our workplace, right? In Fort Wayne, Indiana, there are, according to the 2022 census, about 11,600 Hispanic people and 6,000 Burmese people. Did you know that Fort Wayne is the largest or the place with the greatest population of Burmese people in the United States? I knew we had a high population of Burmese people. I didn't realize we were kind of number one. So for us to do this, to preach the gospel to people of all nations, to the whole world, we must interact with people of other cultures, right? People that will look differently than me, maybe think differently, have a different background. They will just be different than me, right? And that can be a challenge for us, but it is an incredible blessing because it's part of God's plan. So the world teaches us to see people that are different as wrong, or to perhaps judge or to criticize what we don't understand, right? To reject what is different. And of course, the world, even more, Satan wants to cause division among us, among the nations, to stop the plan of God as we know it from Matthew 24:14. Satan does not want the nations to or us as the church, the larger church, the people of God, to stand up and preach the gospel, to make room in our hearts for people that are different, you know, whatever race or color of their skin or nationality or ethnic background. And Satan will try to cause that division. And one way that that manifests itself is criticism or judgment or misunderstanding, you know, stereotypes, generalizations. Well, all Americans are like this, or all people from Russia are like this. Okay. So, but God changes people's hearts when they come to Jesus. Did you hear what Pastor Israel just said about they have, what did he say? They have Russian people in their congregation. They have Ukrainian people in their congregation, and they love each other. He said, there's not anger. That's beautiful, because when we really put down, you know, that it's all about first my culture because of my nation that I come from, we put that down. And when we receive Jesus, and as we walk with him, we grow in his love, we really take on the culture of Jesus, then those barriers, those stereotypes, those misunderstandings about people of other culture can fall down, and we can just love people with the love of Christ. And that's God's plan, right? That's what he says, or why he wants us to preach the gospel to the nations, and then the end will come. It becomes then, you know, not about the color of your skin anymore. It's about the blood. It's about the blood of Jesus, right? Amen. Another example of this is, you know, Messianic Jews and Arab Christians. They love each other. Isn't that amazing? When Arabs get saved and they allow the love of Jesus to come into their hearts, they begin to love Israel. Praise the Lord. And then they receive a blessing, because the Bible says those that bless Israel will be blessed, right? So God changes people's hearts. So I want to talk a little bit about how God has deposited parts, characteristics, traits of himself into the nations. And this topic has fascinated me for years. Many of you know that I was a full-time missionary with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, in Argentina for about 7 years. And so a lot of what I'm sharing is personal experience and from my notes, from classes that, you know, they teach a lot about the blending of the nations and God's heart for the nations. So this is what God has cultivated in me over several years. But I love this topic of how you can see in different nations, like a prism, you know, like, have you ever seen a prism that, you know, you can hang them in your window, and it has many, like a diamond, it has many different facets to it, and the light hits it and it reflects in different ways. Well, I like to think of God like that, of so many different facets of the character and nature of God that he has placed into the nations. And so Genesis 1 verse 26 and 27 this is the scriptural backup for what I'm saying, that God has deposited himself into the nations. He said, and there it is on the screen, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay, so all of the nations are created in God's likeness and image. There are so many aspects to his character. And you can see, I love this, this fascinates me. You can see the redemptive giftings and parts of God's character that some nations have and that they're walking in. And these are from my notes from, I believe, 2006. These are some examples that a visiting professor came and shared with us about seeing the character of God in specific nations. So here's a few examples. England, the nation of England, there, and there's probably several other giftings that for each nation, but these are ones that this particular professor was picking out. So a gift from England is royalty, right? Those from England have to realize that they have a sense of royalty that the world maybe doesn't understand that is from God for the world, right? And with every gifting, there is a possibility of corruption of that gift, right? Because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So the corruption of that gift, you know, could be idolatry, right? That makes sense. Those two go together. You see the royalty, that sense of royalty of England. It's pointing to the character of God, right? He is our King, Jesus, our King, right? But idolatry is where, you know, the British, the English people need to be careful, right? Okay, another one, New Zealand, the New Zealand Kiwis. Their one of their giftings is pioneering things. The corruption of that gift, independence, you know, just kind of going off on their own and doing what they want to do. Another example, Japan, serving, the gift of serving. What a blessing that is to the kingdom of God. The corruption of that, a control or to serve with an agenda. Okay, this one I speak from personal experience because I lived there for 7 years. Argentina, friendship, loyalty. Wow. I have friends in Argentina and they will be my friends until the day I leave this earth because that value in the Argentine culture is so strong. And I could tell you many stories about how living with the Argentine people, how that changed my heart. Because, you know, there's categories of have you heard of cold cultures and warm cultures? And somewhere I have a paper on this. This subject just fascinates me that the people of cold, you know, are in North America fits in the cold category where we are very, there's several characteristics of this, but we're very focused on, you know, we're task oriented and very like time is important. And there's several other characteristics of this. And the opposite, like warm cultures, Latinos, I believe Indians are also in this category, some African nations as well. They're very focused, not so much on tasks, but people and kind of celebration. And it's all about the relationships with people. So I say that to say that, you know, living in a Latino culture like Argentina, and of course, and then each, you know, each country within what we call a Latino or Hispanic culture is very different in itself also. But the Argentines put such a focus on relationship and time with people. And I remember being so challenged by this because, you know, I come from a cold culture and I'm a list person. And, you know, we would have our free days during our school. We have like one or two free days each week. And I have my to-do list. Like I have got to write emails to my family. I've got to get my laundry done. I've got to do all these things. And they, a symbol of the Argentine friendship is to sit and drink this herbal tea called mate, yerba mate. I've seen it. It's gotten really big across the world. I find it here in the Latino grocery stores. Anyways, it's a sign of friendship. And so the Argentines will spend hours sitting and drinking mate and what I call shooting the breeze. And, you know, here I am, imagine this, too bad I don't have a picture of it. The campus where I did my discipleship training school has these little huts, you know, and maybe six or seven people can sit around these little huts out in the yard. And, you know, so a bunch of people are collected there on the free day, just shooting the breeze, having little snacks and drinking this mate and hanging out together. And I'm like going back and forth with my to-do list, you know, going back to my room, back to the laundry room and, you know, taking care of things. And they're like, Sarah, come sit with us. And I'm like, I got stuff to do. And I'm walking away and I'm thinking to myself, this is a waste of time. And the Holy Spirit said to me, spending time with people is never a waste of time. And I think maybe that's why the Lord had to keep me 7 years in Argentina, because I don't remember if that day I maybe gave them 5 minutes or something, but you know, there's an undoing of yourself that happens. And I guess for me, it took 7 years to really receive what the Lord wanted me to receive from this culture. And I could tell you many other examples of how that value of friendship and people, how that touched my heart and changed me over the years. Okay. Another one, Germany is known for their excellence. They do things well, and you know, they're very, how do you say it? It's on it. You know, they're just on it. Excellence is a gift from the Lord. The corruption of that is, you know, could be a demandingness or like a perfectionism. And then let's talk about America. Let's talk about us. And you could probably come up with a few of these. I think a resounding gift that God has put in us, in our culture, is freedom, right? Freedom. How many people across nations, and we are a melting pot now of cultures, because years ago, this country represented freedom and people came, you know, my ancestors were from Poland, and Germany and, you know, Europe, and America represented a place of freedom, right? And the question that I think is important for us to ask is, what would it be like? What would Jesus be like if he was an American? Have you ever thought about that? No, because through my life, through your life and your culture, you know, it should be in our heart to let people see the character of God that he's placed inside of us, to see a redeemed America, right? I want to show others the part of the character of God through, I mean, my nationality, through my personality, through the giftings, the spiritual gifts that he gives me, right? But I think it's important for us to ponder, what would it be like? What would Jesus be like if he was American? So we need to let the world see what it's like to live in his glory with the culture that you have, right? And to value the culture you have. I used to joke when I first went to Argentina, I joked, and then I later had to repent for this joke, that I was going to pretend that I was Canadian or something, because at that time I was like, the Canadians are just neutral. And because, you know, there was a lot of feelings sometimes about people from the United States and like stereotypes against the United States. And I would joke and say, well, I'm from Canada. You know, I was like, no, you're not from Canada. Be proud of the nation that you come from and show the glory of God and what he's placed inside of you. And again, maybe that's another reason for the 7 years, because I had to walk in that, because I went to places and sometimes I remember we went to a retired person's home, assisted living type of place to minister to these people. And there was a man that was very upset that I was there because I was from the United States. And it was like, oh, wow, you know, this is very interesting. I want to let him and people see the glory of God that shines through me, right? I've often had this, I guess it's sort of I don't think of it as a vision, but it's this picture that I have in my heart. And I sometimes ponder this picture of, you know, the banquet, the in heaven, it says it will be a great feast, right? The wedding banquet. And I imagine that we are all invited to this banquet. And we from, you know, not just, I mean, I'm talking about the whole world, from all different cultures, all different races, will be invited to this banquet. And I, you know, with this subject, I have, you know, kind of dream or think about, what's the dish, what's the plate, the delicacy that I bring to the table with my unique flavorings that God has placed inside of me because of my nationality and, of course, my personality and all of those things. Because he wants us, like we read in Matthew 24, he wants us to preach the gospel, right, to each other. And we do that through love. And so what is the gift that I carry as a person from the United States that I bring to that banquet table? Because maybe somebody, you know, let's use my husband as an example. He's Mexican, right? I bring my dish that's different than what he brings to the table, to his dish. And this is also a picture of marriage in a sense too, of, you know, the different giftings, the different personalities. My husband and I are very different. And sometimes that can be a challenge, you know? But God's plan is that, and this applies to the nations as well, and talking about unity of the body of Christ and unity in the nations, it's a beautiful thing when each one brings what they have, their dish, and shares. Hey, maybe you want to try some of my flavor. Try some of my flavor. I have freedom because I'm from the United States. You know, I have hope and encouragement from the heart of God because of being an American, right? And so with that is it requires me to be in the plumb line of God's love, knowing that I have something to share. And so I'm not going to be in a prideful way, like the example of that I gave you about being embarrassed to be an American, because maybe not everyone's thoughts are good about being an American or being whatever nationality you are, whatever ethnic group you represent. But we need to not be prideful and like the false humility of like, well, I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do. You do have something from the heart of God. Bring that to the banquet table because somebody else needs that flavor that you bring, that dish, and they will receive from that, eat from that. And that is one way that the gospel of love, the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached through the world, right? We have to open our hearts to somebody that is different than us. And also it requires you to be humble and teachable to receive what somebody else has, right? You have to know that your gift and what your dish is valuable, and you bring that to the banquet table. And also that it's okay for you to receive from others' dishes. You know, have you ever been to a restaurant where everyone orders just something and it all goes in the center and everyone eats from those dishes? You're sharing, right? There's a mixing. There's a unity that happens within that. Sorry about the germs and all that, but if you're sharing food, but no, it's okay. It's such a beautiful picture. I love just kind of dreaming about this, about God's banquet table in heaven. Let's see. I got away from my notes there. So I want to give you every ounce of what I have that is from God, and be it from my nationality, my personality, my giftings. And I want to learn from what you have. Because like I said, there were things, you know, when I went to Argentina, you know, I'm focused on checking stuff off the list, task oriented and being on time. And their culture is very different. That's focused on people. And I received from that. It was hard at times because, you know, people that are very different or like I shared with you that felt like a waste of time to me as the Lord, as I continued to walk with the Lord and give him my yes on a daily basis and hear his voice. Like when he said, no, spending time with people is never a waste of time. You know, I began to receive from that and understand that people are so valuable, and I'm missing out if I'm not going to receive and taste. Oh, I'm afraid I don't want to. I'm only going to stick with my only dish or my dish here, and I'm not going to taste and learn from others. Then I'm missing out on the plan of God. I'm missing out on His plan to teach and grow each us and to receive from Him through each other. Right? Amen. Right? The Psalm 34 verse 8 says, let the world taste and see. Well, it doesn't say the world. I'm applying. That's what I wrote here. The verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. So let the world taste and see that the Lord is good through you, through what you bring. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to be an American or to be a Mexican or to be a Malaysian or, you know, wherever you are from. Know that your gift is valuable and ask the Holy Spirit, how would Jesus be if He was your nationality and how He wants to redeem, you know, and shine through you the aspect of His character so that others can be blessed by that. When we open our hearts to people of other cultures, we find the glory of God in them. And then the barriers and the stereotypes which divide and separate, those can fall down, and we can then transmit the love of God. So these are important things. If we're going to get to, you know, what Matthew 24:14 said about it will be preached in the whole world, If we're not being received, or we're not seeing that I have something valuable to preach, and we're putting, you know, we have stereotypes and I'm not going to receive from that person because they're different and their skin looks different than me, and, you know, all these things, then we are missing out, and we're not lined up to God's plan and His will, right? So we need to get our hearts right. During my school, my first outreach was to Colombia. I'd never been to Colombia. And, you know, I remember calling my parents and telling them, well, I'm going to Colombia on my outreach time. We traveled in other parts of Argentina, but then for a month we went to Colombia. And, you know, I remember talking to my parents and having, you know, they expressed sort of their fear about, you know, their daughter going to Colombia because, you know, Colombia is where all the drugs are, you know, and these stereotypes and even fears of myself. Well, you know, stereotypes take out, you know, highlight maybe one problem. We have problems in our nation too, right? And kind of say, well, all people are, not everybody in Colombia is, you know, involved in drugs. And I got to see the heart of these people they are warm. They are like celebration. Their services were so much fun, praising God. It was like a celebration. They are colorful people, the Colombians. And it was a beautiful thing to have my stereotypes fall down. And we worked in one particular place, and they told us, you know, this is a red zone for drugs and, you know, like guerrilla warfare and different things. They told us this, like, so don't go out of here, you know, after night. And we're all looking at our leader, like, where did you bring us, you know? And anyways, we stayed with this church, I believe, maybe up to 2 weeks. It was a long period of time that we worked with this church in this particular region in Colombia. And it was such a beautiful time. And we worked a lot with the youth group. And I remember on the last day, they did this whole celebration, and they were so thankful for us being with them, because we had gone to we went out and did evangelism in the streets with them. We did several meetings with the youth and ministered to them. We did several different things during our time with them. And at the end, on the last day, you know, they did this whole celebration as if we had been missionaries for a year with them or something. And they gave us gifts and they just showered love on us. And at the end, the youth group, the leader of the youth group came up to me and he said, I just want to thank you for showing me that people from your country aren't how I thought they were. And I said, oh, you know, I probably just had this look on my face. So he said more. He explained and said, I thought people from your nation were very stuck up and, you know, just self-absorbed and concerned about themselves. But he said, I observed you for this 2 weeks or whatever it was, and you are not that way. And so thank you for showing me that people from your nation can be lovely and have something from the heart of God, because I saw the love of God in you. And if you have that picture of me with all of the Colombian, the beautiful brown-skinned Colombian children. Oh, not that one. Well, that's a good one. Well, I'll tell about this one. So this is in my school. You can see there are so many different nationalities. This is my school, and the staff is included during the discipleship training school. Do you see me here with short hair? With the yellow round earrings. So this was a celebration of the nation's banquet that we did, like a love feast. And I believe I was dressed up as like a girl from Spain. Like I had a little flower in my hair. And so, you know, you can see different people wearing different flags. This is my United States flag that my Argentine friend Cynthia is wearing there. And, you know, Germany is represented. Puerto Rico is represented. England, Switzerland, England, Argentina, Spain. I think I covered, there's several English people there. But so this was a celebration of the nations. Okay, go ahead to the other. So this is in Brazil, just loving on the Brazilian kids. I just thought, because I'm visual, that it's good to see a few pictures. And then there's one of me with the Colombian kiddos that is at that church that I'm telling you about, where we were spent the time with the youth. But there's just something so beautiful that happens when you can allow the light of Jesus, the character of God, to shine through you, because it was tremendous how he said, you know, what I thought, the stereotype of what I thought of people from your nation, you show me that that wasn't true. And of course, being with them, my stereotypes had fallen also. This is my outreach team that we went together to Colombia. And so this girl in the center is from the United States as well. Argentina, England. And so we had a pretty diverse team. And this is me here with the backpack, short hair. There's the little quinchos I was talking about. Can you see them in the background? The little huts there where people would sit and drink the mate. This was our beautiful campus there. So what time is that? I could talk all day about these things. Okay, I'm doing all right. 1 Peter 3:8. There's the picture. There's more children around me there. And I'm actually very tan. That's probably the tannest I've ever been. But you can see that I'm still pretty white. I'm still pretty gringo. But yeah, those children, oh, wow, they're just beautiful, beautiful people. That was on the last day when they were showering us with love and gifts and cards and all these things. So 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, having the same love, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. If we're going to do these things to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth so that the end will come, these things from 1 Peter 3, 8, these qualities need to be in us, right? We need to have this unity of mind. We need to have the same love, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart to people, to let walls fall down, right? And a humble mind to receive from other people that are different. So here's a question. Are there stereotypes? You know, you can think about this and ask the Holy Spirit. Are there stereotypes that you hold or judgments against people of other nations? Because sometimes we're kind of raised with this and we hear our parents tell stories or, you know, there's jokes about certain cultures, certain nationalities that perhaps you need to repent of if God shows you something. In YWAM, you know, we heard this saying a lot. It's not wrong. It's just different. It's not wrong. It's just different. So like the Argentine way of cleaning a bathroom. Okay. So they have, you know, trabajo práctico. Everyone has work duties to do now. Gather around, you know, this is part of our program. Every day we have school, we have worship, we have, you know, different things. But here's the work duty time. We're going to clean this beautiful base, this place where we live. And so they would assign the jobs, right? Okay, Sarah, you're in charge of, you know, go clean the bathrooms. This is how we do it. We fill up a bucket of water and we dump. Like, you have to be like dressed appropriately for this, right? With flip flops and stuff, dump a bucket of water. This is just an example I'm giving you of, it's not wrong. It's just different. I'm like, I do what? Well, this is kind of fun. Okay. I get to throw water everywhere, all over the toilet, over the stall. And then, you know, you have spray and you have a cloth and you've got a, you know, bleach spray or whatever. And you clean. And then with the squeegee on the stick, you take all the water off and wipe it all down. It was like, okay, this is different. This is weird, but I will do it. I will do how you want me to do it. Okay. And it's kind of fun. Like, you're waiting in the, you got to like wear shorts or like have your pants up. So it's not wrong. It's just different. So there were so many things like that in my daily life there in Argentina that you just do how the Argentines do. Okay. All right. Wow. When I traveled to Latvia, some of you have heard me say this story. Wow, this messed with my belief system. Traveled to Latvia, and I have several friends, close friends, best friend from Latvia, and learned about this beautiful culture. They love fresh air. Okay. They are like, they're like rustic mountain people, like developed lungs, and they can, wow, it's crazy. So, you know, I went to Latvia. I don't highly recommend this, but it's beautiful. It's like Chronicles of Narnia. I went to Latvia in January and February, very cold, ice everywhere. This is what I discovered. It's not wrong. It's just different. They put their babies outside to take naps. What, you say? Yes, they do. So this couple were in this large base house that had many rooms, large older house out in the country. I don't believe they do this so much anymore in the cities, in the big cities, but out in the countryside, which is where we were. So this family, this had to go, you know, this missionary couple had to go do something. And they said to me, would you, and you know, the English is not so good. And so I'm like, maybe I understood them the wrong way or something, but would you just keep an eye on our baby? She's taking a nap. And I said, okay, which room is she in? Oh, over there. Over there where? And so then I hear this baby start to cry, and I'm going all through these rooms and I'm saying to people, where's this baby? Where's this baby sleeping? They asked me to keep an eye on her. And so I'm looking, and they had the window open, you know, because it's January and February and they like fresh air. Like, they really like fresh air. They have the windows open all the time. And so then I hear, like, you know, it's like hot or cold. It gets louder as you get closer to the window being open. Like, I'm hearing this baby. She's outside. I look out, and I was on the second or third floor of this house, and she's down there in her stroller outside. So I go like rescue this baby, thinking, oh my gosh, this poor child is outside. And you know, she's all bundled up in her snowsuit, and they have a cover over the stroller. But this is what they do in Latvia. And they, you know, they're explaining this to me because they had to calm me down because I was a little bit upset about this, you know, saying in my country, this would be, you know, abuse and neglect. Like, like, you don't leave your child outside. This baby, I don't remember how old she was. She was like under a year old. And it's not wrong. It's just different. It messed with my belief systems of like, okay, all right, I'm keeping my heart open to you people, even though you leave your children outside. No, it's okay. That's how they build the immunity. That's how they build strength. And that's why they all become these rustic mountain men and women, because from the time they were an infant, they were put outside to sleep and their bodies are getting used to that. Look to your neighbor and say, it's not wrong. It's just different. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. So, and there's probably other stories that I could tell you, but I'll just leave those as the main ones. So we'll just land the plane here. Beyond representing our particular nation and culture, we represent the culture of Jesus, right? As his followers, we want to represent first and foremost his culture, the culture of the kingdom of God. As citizens of heaven, there's a call that's serious and significant on each of us to represent the gospel of the kingdom, like we read in Matthew 24, right? To preach the gospel as a testimony to all nations so that the end will come. So how am I representing the culture of the kingdom of God beyond my own culture? How am I doing with that? It's a question for you to ask the Lord. What is the culture then of the kingdom of God? What is that like? I think it can be summed up in one word, one four-letter word. L-O-V-E, love, right? Like 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So what we're talking about and how you, with your nationality, the makeup, the characteristics that God placed and giftings that God placed in you, how do you represent the kingdom of God? If you don't even know where to start with that question, start with 1 Corinthians 13:13, love, right? We are a living testimony to other nations of the power and the love of Christ. So it becomes less about my ethnic background, the color of my skin and my nationality, and more about the culture of being a citizen of heaven, right? Amen. We can get excited about that. I am a citizen of heaven. What does that look like? I belong to Jesus's culture first and foremost. The culture of Jesus. That's what I want to first and foremost walk in, right? I need to lead with the love of Jesus first in my own life so that I can be grounded in that love, so that I can touch people of other nations, and I can be a part of the call of Matthew 24:14, right? So that I can reach those nationalities and ethnic groups, even here in my own city, even here at the factory where I work. I don't work at a factory. I'm just giving you an example. Even here where I'm pumping gas next to somebody that looks different than me, you know, with the love of Jesus. So Psalm 2, this is the last scripture. Psalm 2, verse 8 says, ask me. The Lord just says, ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Wow, that's quite a promise. All we have to do is ask him. He must trust us to be walking in the love of his son, Jesus. If he says, ask me, and I'll give them to you. I'll give the nations to you. That's a responsibility that we carry as followers of Jesus. So we're a church here, my father's house. Part of the vision of my father's house is a multicultural church, to be a multicultural, multi-ethnic church that reaches out and loves people of different cultures. And even among us, we have many different cultures represented. But the effort begins in our hearts. Let's do our part to preach the gospel to the whole world, to walk in and share the love of Jesus. Bring your dish that you have, bring it to the table, allow others to eat from it, and you eat from others. To lead with the love of Jesus for those who are different than us. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's pray. Let's pray. And then I will also pray for our live stream friends that have been faithful and are watching. Thank you, Father God. Oh, we thank you for your heart for the nations. God, you are a God of love, and you've created us, so many different nationalities and ethnic peoples. In your likeness and image, you created us. So I praise you for that. I praise you, Father, that you love each of us uniquely and that you have placed your heart in the nations. Father God, I ask that you would help us to acknowledge if there are any, Holy Spirit, show us if there are any stereotypes or barriers that we have in our hearts or that we hold against people of other nationalities, other ethnic backgrounds, because Father, we want to let that fall. We want your love to melt our hearts so that we can be a part of the great commandment of what you say of like Matthew 24:14, that we would be able to preach. We could take our responsibility seriously to preach the gospel, to preach it with love, to not have any barriers between us and anyone else. Father, that we can receive people that are different and look different and do things differently than we do. So I thank you for breaking down those barriers and for your forgiveness over us if we have had a wrong thought about somebody from another culture or nation. I thank you that you are a God of unity and that you want to bring people together. You want to restore where there has been maybe a breach or where there has been division. So I thank you for doing that in our personal lives. And Father, that we can reach out to those even in this city, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and any other city, that we can express the love of God to all people, and we can do our part to preach your gospel. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for leading us and guiding us, that we are not alone in this endeavor. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father God, I just bless our live on stream or live stream viewers today. I ask, Father God, for your peace over their hearts and their lives. I pray the shalom peace of God, that nothing is missing, nothing broken over them in Jesus' mighty name. If there is any sickness or illness, we stamp that out by the blood of Jesus and we declare healing and health. Father God, I thank you for your word in people's lives. This week, your Rhema word coming to hearts to give them direction, Father, to give peace, to give correction where needed, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your written word, Father God, that we can delight in your word, Father God. I thank you for strength arising as people hang out in your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them, Father, to be a blessing this week. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.